Hey there, this is Seth Wires from Channel 9, coming to you from MVP Summit 2015. I'm here with a special guest, Richard Morris. How you doing, buddy?
How you doing? I'm good, thanks.
Where are you from?
I'm from Ireland.
Fantastic. So, you actually make something called Swashbuckle, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So I'm going to back up so that we can get through the history of this, because I think it's a really interesting sort of thing that people need to know about, specifically in the age of mobile devices and the kind of applications that we're building today with API. So let's start all the way back at the beginning. Why Swashbuckle? And we're probably going to have to talk a little bit about Swagger as well.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So going back to a previous job, I worked for Getty Images. We were building out, we had a fairly substantial SOA platform, so a lot of SOAP-based web services. Uh-huh. And then we had a couple of websites that were consuming those web services. You know, we experienced a lot of the pain with SOAP, and we started moving towards web API. And soon enough, the question came up, well, how do we make these web API services discoverable? You know, in the past, we had a WSDL, and we mm-hmm. had whatever documentation was generated off WSDLs.
Sure.
So, you know, we started looking out there and seeing, well, you know, in the REST world, you know, what's kind of, you know, what ways do we make our applications discoverable? And the REST purists will probably tell you that they don't need to be, they're self-discoverable.
Right.
But, you know, in reality, you know, within the enterprise, you know, we had to, you know, make our services discoverable, make it easy for new consumers to use those web services.
So just to pause right there. So yeah. Swagger is designed to make your APIs, RESTful APIs, discoverable.
Yeah.
And while the purists say that, okay, you really don't need that, you're saying that from a tooling perspective, it helps and it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's obvious benefits from a tooling perspective if you want to have auto-generated clients. But also, what Swashbuckle does is it builds a UI around, you know, based on the service description. It provides a UI so you can have a RESTful web service and you can just go to your browser and test it straight away without having to. So like a lot of tooling that, yeah.
Awesome. That, so let's get into Swagger. Let's okay. describe it a little bit,
yeah.
And I think then people will understand why Swashbuckle is so cool, because then you're going to describe how to actually make your API swashbuckle-ish.
Yeah.
So let's start with Swagger. What does it define and how does it define it?
Yeah, so Swagger is basically it's a JSON format. It's a specification that describes your web service. So it breaks it down into, you know, what are the paths exposed by your web service, you know, i.e. your resources, you know, what HTTP verbs are exposed through those resources, put, get, post,
delete.
You know, what are the content, like what are the accept headers that you know, what's the formats that it expects, what's the format that your operation exposes in terms of returning data,
right.
All of the kind of interaction, the whole interaction model around a RESTful service. So it describes how you interact with it and what operations are available.
So just to make a concrete example, if I have /items/2,
yeah.
Right, get, that would be a get,
yeah.
In your
Swagger, yeah.
Swagger definition JSON file, you'd have the /items/ID.
Yeah, it's a metadata format, so that would be classified as a path, right? Uh-huh. So there's a collection of paths. So you know, when your Swagger document comes back, it'll give you a collection of like a property called paths, which is going to be an array, and then it's actually going to be a JSON object,
mm-hmm.
A dictionary. And for each path, like your /items, that's going to have a path item object, and then that path item object will have a list of operations, and each operation will correspond to. It'll have a HTTP, what is the HTTP method, whether it's get. So it's really a whole format, a metadata format that describes your API.
So once you have this description of your API,
yeah.
The next logical step would be, well, I want my consumers to know about my API,
yeah.
But I have to document it so they can see it. And that's where Swashbuckle comes in,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So Swashbuckle, it builds on, I mean, there's a metadata layer built into Web API, which is called IAPI Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a completely different format, a completely different structure, but it serves a similar purpose in that it tries to create an abstraction around describing your service and your operations. So what Swashbuckle does is it takes that description and basically transforms it into a swagger version. And then in addition to that, it actually just adds an endpoint into your web API automatically, where you can view that swagger JSON format. And that opens up a lot of possibilities, one of which is the Swagger UI, which is a tooling that is bundled with Swashbuckle.
Right.
So if you enable Swashbuckle in your project, the first thing and the fundamental thing that it's going to do is it's going to take the internal metadata format, convert it to the Swagger JSON format, and expose it through an endpoint on your actual API.
So fundamentally, what it's doing is it's making your API Swagger enabled. That's the
exactly.
first thing Swashbuckle does.
Yeah.
And this is only specifically with ASP.NET projects?
Web API
project, yeah.
Yeah. And as we move forward now, obviously they're all going to be combined
right.
and so it's going to be available across the board. But it's more about describing, certain like API endpoints.
Right. So first thing, we put in our project. How do you do that? Is it like a web config? Is it a NuGet package?
So it's a NuGet package. So install Swashbuckle. And in the current version of Web API, once you install that, it'll actually wire up. It'll put a Swagger config file into your app start folder,
mm-hmm.
and then it uses Web Activator to hook into the application startup, where it'll register your routes.
Mm-hmm.
The route will be /Swagger, it'll register it. And so it pretty much does everything automatically. You just install Swashbuckle, spin up your application, go to /Swagger.
And then it'll show.
It'll show up, yeah.
So now let's talk about the second part, which is, we kind of alluded to it,
yeah.
but it puts a UI now over your API
right.
based on the Swagger
yeah.
that it generates.
And the first thing is that I can't take credit for the UI. So basically, Swagger is the specification first and foremost, and then there's a whole range of open source tooling that's cropping up around Swagger. And
mm-hmm.
There's client code generators, and then there's the Swagger UI is another tool. There's a whole range of tools, but what the Swagger UI does is it's basically a JavaScript framework. So it's a JavaScript library that just runs in the browser. It doesn't care about server side dependencies. It runs in your browser. And all it does is it just consumes that Swagger JSON document.
Mm-hmm.
So Swashbuckle makes that available through an endpoint on your web API, and it also embeds the Swagger UI front end assets. So they're also available. So when you install Swashbuckle, you can go to swagger/UI.
Right.
That will load the index.html page, which has all this JavaScript, which pulls down the JSON that Swashbuckle has made available,
mm-hmm.
and does all the client side magic to build a pretty beautiful UI, for describing your web API. So it gives pretty nice documentation around your API. But even better, it actually provides a sandbox. So for every operation, you can go in, and it goes down to a great level of detail. It describes the types, the type of JSON you need to submit. You can click a button to add a sample JSON, and you can try out the operation. So really, increases productivity when you're building out a web API. But then also, it can be used in production to actually provide a sandbox to potential consumers. So it's pretty powerful, and it's a pretty nice UI. And
that's awesome. So
yeah.
if it's like a JavaScript sort of program, that
yeah.
means that you're literally making XHR requests to the API.
Yeah.
So you're getting like a true test. It's
yeah.
not like you're inside the application. You're literally outside making tests.
That's true.
Back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's all ad hoc, but you're testing your API through the sandbox.
Well, that's awesome. So where can people go to find out more about Swagger? I read a little bit of the
yeah.
specification, and then I think I was getting sleepy or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But where can they go to find out about Swagger and then more about Swashbuckle?
Yeah. So I mean, Swagger at this point, I think if you type it into Google, it's probably top of the search.
Right.
I believe it's swagger.io is the website, and that'll give you lots of information about Swagger, the different tooling that's available. And then Swashbuckle, again, if you type in Swashbuckle, it's getting close to the But if GitHub/domain-driven-dev, that's my my Twitter feed and my GitHub handle /swashbuckle.
Do you have a website or something where people can go find out about you or a blog?
No, I don't. No, that's something I've got to work on.
He's committed to making a blog.
Yeah,
thanks so much for spending some time on this, Richard.
Yeah, not at all. Yeah.
Again, we're here at MVP Summit 2015. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.
Cheers.
Take care.